It's good to see you this morning, and it's good to be able to come out and worship God and to spend some time together singing and praying and remembering the Lord's death, and I hope that you're encouraged by being here. In our scripture reading of Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, when you read that section of scripture, you're reading about the greatest day that stands before us. That day is not a birthday coming up. That day is not an anniversary. It's not a particular holiday. It's not the day that we might look forward to retiring from work. It's none of those days. The greatest day that lies before us is the second coming of Christ and the judgment day. And it's always good to remind ourselves of that because it's easy to get focused on the things of this life and forget about that day that is lying ahead, and it may be sooner than we might realize. If we need to make our life right with God today, we need to do that before it's too late. A lot of times, things that are most important in life, we put off. In attending a funeral memorial service yesterday, I was reminded that death and judgment cannot be avoided, Hebrews 9:27, but they can be prepared for. So I want us to consider this morning and remind us again this morning of that great day. If you'll look with me at chapter 20 and verse 11, recently I was reading this verse and my eye caught the statement, "And there was found no place for them." Talking about the heaven and earth that we see around us, that we are familiar with, that we know about. In the judgment day, there was found no place for them. And I got to thinking about the fact that in the judgment day, there's not going to be any heaven or earth. And I got to thinking, okay, what else will not be there? So this morning I want to study a little bit with you about some things that are not found on the judgment day. There are some things that will not be there. You know, we can learn a lot about the judgment day by studying who and what will be there. But we can also learn a lot about those things that will not be there. What are some things that will not be there on the judgment day? And when we consider those things this morning, I hope to better our relationship with God. I think a lot of times people realize or they think that all of the things that are going on in this life, those same things will be there on the judgment day. And that's just not true. And so, whether consciously or subconsciously, they're thinking, well, all of the things around me today are going to be there on the judgment day. And so that affects my relationship with God, as you'll see in just a minute. But I'm told in verse 11 that the earth and the heaven, there was found no place for them. That's not going to be there on the judgment day. And we're going to see this morning that there's some other things as well. Turns me to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 32. When I read about the judgment day, I read that everyone is going to be there. We're all going to be present. Standing before the Son of Man, or Jesus, and before Him shall be gathered all the nations. All the nations. And He shall separate them one from another. In John chapter 28 and verse 29, Jesus said, "All that are in the tombs shall hear His voice." All that are in the tombs. Not some, not most. Not some nations, not most nations, but all. When you study in your Bible about the judgment day, you're going to notice several passages of Scripture that mention the word all. And so what that tells me is that There will be no absentees on the judgment day. You know, in this life, if we don't want to show up to something, we don't have to do that. You know, if we don't want to show up to church services, if we don't want to show up to work, if we don't want to show up to work, at school, that's fine. And we just sort of roll with it. But in the judgment day, there won't be any absentees. I remember when I was in school, the teacher would take roll, the first class. And she would write down the absentee list and then send it to the office. Do you remember that? The absentee list? And I used to get in trouble, you know, if I didn't want to go to school and, you know, you want to kind of skip school. I remember Mom and Dad saying, you're not going to be on that absentee list unless it's just grave, you know. That was a bad thing today. That, you know, that's no big deal. There's not going to be any absentees. And so we don't want to get in this frame of mind where, you know, if I just don't want to show up, I don't have to show up. And I don't mean even physically. For example, in our assembling and in our attendance, of course that's important. But I even mean showing up, if you will, in our service and obedience to God. Today's approach is, well, you know, if I don't want to show up, if I don't want to show up, do this or do that, I don't have to do that. But we need to remember Romans 14:12. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10, and we must all give an account of the deeds done in the body. All is found in many judgment day passages. It's not going to be a situation where, you know, I'm just not going to show up. No, we're going to be there. Let us get in the frame of mind now that we don't want to absent ourselves, not just from the worship service, but from every aspect of our service to God. Because one day we will have to be there before Him and before that throne. There won't be any absentees. While we're in Romans chapter 14, if you'll turn with me there, I'm told something else about the judgment day. I'm told in Romans chapter 14, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each one of us shall give account of himself to God. Do you know what's not going to be in the judgment day? There's not going to be one atheist in the judgment day. There's not going to be one unbeliever. There's not going to be one skeptic. There's not going to be one agnostic who says, well, I just don't know if there's enough evidence for God. When you're standing right in front of God, you're not going to be an atheist. Can you imagine somebody standing face to face with God and Christ? I still don't believe in God. Really? Nope, there won't be any unbelievers. There won't be any skeptics. There won't be any mockers. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 3 and following, Peter talks about that in the last days, mockers shall come saying, where is the promise of His coming? Well, there's not going to be anybody standing in the judgment day saying, well, has Jesus come yet or not? No, it's pretty obvious that He's come and there's a judgment day. And the reason I mention that is, today, there are a lot of folks who are getting by in life saying, well, there's not enough evidence for me to believe. That's why I'm an atheist, and that's why I'm a skeptic, and that's why I'm an agnostic. There's not enough reason or evidence to believe. No, Paul says, and this is in the future tense, in Philippians chapter 2, the same wording is used in verse 10, every knee shall, but it's in the tense of what should be done. In Philippians chapter 2, we should bow our knees and we should confess. But here, it's more of a certainty. It's the future tense. This will happen. Everybody who says today, well, I just don't want to confess Jesus, you will do that. in the judgment day. And that lets me know that there's not going to be any unbelievers or skeptics or mockers or agnostics. And so we would do well now to believe voluntarily before that day comes when you are absolutely forced to do it. We would do well to believe the evidence now that's in creation and in the Word of God for the existence of God. All of that evidence lays before us now. We would do well to get busy believing it. And there won't be anybody who will be able to prolong it and put it off by saying, well, if you would just show me some more evidence, or I'm not really convinced right now. When you're standing face to face, as we sing in our songbooks, one of my favorite songs, Face to Face with Christ my Savior. You stand face to face, you're not going to be an unbeliever. But it'll be too late to believe and obey. And that confession of Romans 14, 11 and 12, that will not be a bowing of the knee and a confession that will lead to our salvation. That will already be over with, as we'll see later in the lesson. We've got to do that now. So let's be taking the opportunity now to believe and obey. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7. With regard to the heaven and the earth and those physical things that are around us, we're told here that there's something else that's not going to be in the judgment day, something that people put a great stock in this life, but it's not even going to be anywhere in the judgment day. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and verse 7. For we brought nothing into the world, for neither can we carry anything out. There's something else that's not going to be in the judgment day, and that is material possessions. The very thing that people put so much emphasis on, the heaven and the earth, the physical universe around us, It will flee away, and there is no place found for that. It's going to be gone. And all of the physical things that are associated with the heaven and the earth, all of the material possessions, the earth and the works therein will be burned up, 2 Peter 3:10. It's going to be gone. But yet that's the very thing that people put their stock in today. The very thing that people put their stock in, it's not even going to be around when the judgment day comes. So we would do well to get our priorities right. We have to have physical things to live and exist and function. We have to have those things. But those things should always be secondary to a right relationship with God. Your car is not going to be there in the judgment day. Your house is not going to be there in the judgment day. Your cell phone is not going to be there in the judgment day. Will you be able to handle that? You're not going to have your cell phone with you. You're going to be able to handle that? Am I going to be able to handle that? You're not going to have your cell phone. But yet that's the very thing. The money in the bank and all of the things, it's going to be gone. We brought nothing into the world and we're not going to carry a stitch out. And when we stand before God in the judgment day, we're not going to be surrounded by all this stuff that we've been working for and really, you know, prioritizing. This is important. None of that's going to be around us. It's going to be you and I and God and Jesus, and that's it. And we're going to have to talk about the deeds done in the body, but we're not going to be surfing on our phone or anything. And it's a great reminder. We can learn so much about the judgment day, not only by what will be there, but what's not there, to hopefully stir us to a greater obedience to God now. The earth and the works will be burned up. All the stuff that we've been working for, all of the stuff we own, all of the stuff that we focus on and prioritize in our life. all of that will be gone. And so let's prioritize the spiritual things in our life. And as parents in raising our children, prioritize the spiritual things in their life over the material. Like I said earlier, we have to have these things to function. I'm not suggesting that we go toss it all now and live, you know, without anything, but keep it in perspective. Instead of saying, did I plug my phone in, say, have I been baptized into Christ? Did I remember to turn the stove off? Did I remember to pray and read my Bible today? You see. Let's make sure that our life is right with God. Turn with me to Acts chapter 17 and verse 31. This comes to my mind, especially when I see events of today. I get so frustrated with seeing how that men and women do things that are completely unjust and unfair in our world. And we see it unplaying in some of the world events in Ukraine and other places today. It's a shame, and it's costing people's lives, where people can just sit around and make unjust and evil and wicked decisions and things like that. It's very disconcerting. But I'm reminded in the judgment day of Acts chapter 17 and verse 31, where God is going to place Christ as the judge, inasmuch as he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he hath ordained. When I read that the judgment day is a place of righteous judgment, I'm told then that there will be no injustices there. There will be no mistrials. There will be no corrupt judges. There will be no judgment that is improper in any kind of way. Turn with me to Romans chapter 2. Everything that God does now and then and has in the past has always been righteous, meaning right and just and fair and equitable and according to truth. We live in a world that is constantly full of injustices. There won't be any of that in the judgment day. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? That's what we need to be doing now. We need to be spending our time repenting, if we need to do that. But after the hardness and impenitent heart, treasure up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Look at that, righteous. Whatever reward or punishment we get in the judgment day, it will be completely righteous in nature. There will be no unfair trial. Verse 6, who will render to every man according to his works. It's fair. God is not a respecter of persons. In courtrooms today, you can have respecter of persons, you can have corrupt judges, you can have ideologues, you can have people with agendas, you can have people that just outright twist justice. You can have DAs and others who just twist justice. The law will be on the book, and they completely ignore the law that's on the book. It's completely unfair and unjust. That's rampant, not only in our nation, but around the world. But in the judgment day, there will be none of that. And what a comfort, actually, and a consolation and an encouragement that will be completely fair and above board. Verse 7, to them that by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and incorruption eternal life, but unto them that are factious and obey not the truth, we need to be obeying today, but obey unrighteousness, shall wrath and indignation, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that works evil, unto the Jew first and also to the Greek, but glory and honor and peace to every man that works good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Why, Paul? For there is no respecter of persons with God. It's completely fair and equitable and just. And God has always been that way from the beginning of time, and that will carry through to the judgment day. While we're here in Romans chapter 2, look at verse 16. I'm told something else in the Word of God that will not be there. Verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men according to my gospel by Jesus Christ. There will be no secrets there. There will be no secrets there. Today in this life, you can keep a secret from a spouse or from your parents or from an employer or from other family members or whoever. You can do that. In this life, you don't have to be open and honest about anything. You can cover up things. You can try to hide things. It's very possible. It's often done. But we need to be reminded that in the judgment day, even the secrets of men will be brought out. God has that power to do that. And it's a great reminder. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. That's why Paul, even conscious of this, tried to live a life. He tried to be a minister or a steward and live properly in the sight of God each day because he knew this very thing. And so he talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1, ministers of Christ, we've got to be good stewards of what God gives us. Verse 5, wherefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and make manifest the counsels of the hearts. Then shall each man have his praise from God. People today lie all the time. They cover up. It just rolls off their lips. It's just one lie after another, one cover up after another. They just stay one step in front of the person trying to find out the truth. They just lie, 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 lie. But the hidden things of darkness, that's all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes that drives much of what's going on today, all that hidden works of darkness, that's all going to be brought out. And any counsel of the heart is going to be brought out. It's best for us today to just be open and honest with ourselves and with God, and if we need to make any change, do that. Turn back with me to the scripture reading back in Revelation chapter 20. Let's look at something else that will not be there in the judgment day that's very common today. And if we're not careful, we might think that some of these things that are so common today, they're going to be there on the judgment day. They're not. And our lesson this morning is that there's all these things that are very common today. Secrets, injustices, material possessions, and so forth. So much of what's common today is just not going to be there. And in Revelation chapter 20, we're reminded of something else. Ethan read verse 12, I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. Everybody's there. And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books. Look at that. There is not going to be any man's word, man's standard, man's think so. That is just not going to be there. The standard of judgment is the books, and the books here are the books of God's word. You're holding them right now in your hand. You're holding the very standard of judgment. That's impressive. Some people have talked about, and I like the way they do it, they've talked about how that you know what's going to be on the final exam before it comes. This is the final exam. This is the teacher giving you the questions and the answers in advance. I like how they put that. I think that's accurate. We know what's going to be on the final exam. These are the books. And there's one other book, the Lamb's Book of Life, and your name and my name needs to be written in there upon our baptism into Christ and faithful obedience. But notice what's not there. We're not judged based upon what we think or feel or what some person, what some scholar has said about this and what some scientist said about that and what some professor believes about this and what some brotherhood preacher says about that. None of that. Myself included. Man's standard, but that's the very thing often that we hear today. What we think and feel and what some person says about this or some person says about that, that's not going to be on the final exam. Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 48, the words that I spake, the same shall judge him in the last day. Not what people think or feel. So, we need to be walking by God's standard now. We need to be hearing and believing and obeying the words of Christ now. We are in a world today where there has been so much undue attention for a long time, not just recent years, for a long time in this nation and around the world about what government says about this or what leaders say about that. And we have a law that says, that's man. And none of that's going to be on in the judgment day. Well, we have a law, man has passed a law that says it's okay for homosexual marriage, or man has passed a law that says abortion is okay. We are so wedded to this concept of what man says that we're losing sight, I'm afraid, of what the actual standard is going to be. When was the last time you heard anybody say anything outside of the pulpit that God's Word is our standard? When's the last time you've heard that? You don't hear that. It's all about some man-made law that's been voted on, some body, either a state legislature or our national Congress. They're voting on this. They believe this. They're setting forth this law. And we've had so much of that that it's easy to lose sight of what the real standard is going to be on the judgment day. And it's not anything dealing with man. It has everything to do with God. And we would do well to be following that now. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. This is something else that's very prevalent today. I'm trying to get us to see that many of the things that are so prevalent around us aren't going to be at all anywhere in the judgment day. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, Paul says we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ. All. There's not going to be any absentees. That each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. It's going to be fair. There's not going to be any mistrials or anything. And if you have good coming to you, you're going to get that. If you have bad coming to you, you're going to get that. And that leads me to know that there is absolutely no disobedience in the judgment day. We can't stand before God in the judgment day and say, well, I just don't want to do that. That goes on all the time today. We won't be able to say, okay, you're sending me to hell. No, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to go the other place. There's not going to be any disobedience. There's not going to be any argument. There's not going to be any statement made where we don't have to do what God says. You're going to get what is coming to you, and I'm going to get what is coming to me, and that will be the end of it. We're so used today to have this choice of, well, I don't have to do that. And God gives us that free will now. That's true. But there won't be any of that in the judgment day. You want to obey or disobey? I'm going to give you a choice. There will be none of that. So let us resist that urge now. If we're thinking, well, I just don't have to do that, that type of thinking will not be present in the judgment day. I will not be able to say, no, I'm not going to give an account to you. No, you'll have to give an account. Or, I don't like the sentence. I want another sentence. You won't be able to do that. I won't be able to do that. Let's resist that urge now and be completely compliant to God. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14. Another statement in our scripture reading that John, when he sees this great judgment day, he says, "And death and Hades is the realm of the departed dead. When we die now, we don't immediately go to heaven or hell. We go to Hades, a realm of where departed spirits await. That's Hades. Death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, even the lake of fire." There will be no death or Hades in the judgment day. And you say, well, why do you bring that up? Well, a lot of times, I wonder if people today, the way they approach things in life is, well, I'm just going to die one day and I don't have to worry about that. I can just wait him out. I can just put off God because I'm not going to do anything now. One day I'm going to die and I won't have to worry about it. A lot of people approach life like that. Well, in the judgment day, we're not going to be able to say, well, if I just wait up here long enough, one day I'll die. There's not going to be any more death or Hades. There is no more intermediate realm. There's no more waiting place. That's it. From that point onward is eternity. Death and Hades are gone. There is no more just, well, I'll just wait him out, or I'll put him off, or I won't deal with it right now. There won't be any of that. I've known of individuals who have made statements, and sometimes this does come from atheists and unbelievers. Sometimes it comes from other individuals, but they'll say something about, well, if there is a God, I don't have to worry about that because one day I'm going to die and I don't have to worry about that. They're viewing death as just a way of sort of escaping responsibility. And I just want to remind us that that's not going to be there. There's no death or Hades. And so let's use our life now to be right with God. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7 and 21. Let's see something else that is not there that is very, very common today. And it started all the way back in the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve sinned. When God comes to them to hold them accountable for their sin, what do Adam and Eve start doing? Well, they start offering up excuses and blame and that type of thing, and it's been going on ever since then. Look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Now look at this. "Many will say to me in that day," the judgment day, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Very familiar verse. But look at what they say. Did we not do this, and did we not do that? Did Jesus listen to that and say, okay, I'm convinced, you're good? No, what I'm told there is that there won't be any excuses in the judgment day. That Jesus accepts as valid and fine, okay, that works for me. They're offering up the statement, well, did we not do this and did we not do that? No, you are a worker of lawlessness, depart from me. Their question, their statement, their excuses, their comments did not help them in any way. And yet today that is so popular. It happens everywhere. The teacher, the student giving all the excuses to the teacher, and the child giving all the excuses to the parent, and the employee giving all the excuses to the employer. Well, this is why and it happens so much today that it's so common. It's everywhere. We blame other people. And I wonder if people think that they're going to be able to do that with Jesus in the judgment day, and the scripture tells us that that's just not going to work. So, it's best simply to not rely upon any of that, not engage in any of that, and just simply squarely come to terms and obedience and do the will of the Lord. It started with Adam and Eve, this woman that you gave me, and the devil made me do it, and mankind has been doing that ever since. None of that will be present in the judgment day. Here's something else that's very common today. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, but it won't be anywhere found in the judgment day. Matthew 25 and verse 46. How often we hear today that, and we're doing this more and more in sports, where everybody's a winner, you know, everybody gets a medal, right? Even if you're a loser, you're a winner, right? And if you're in last place, you're really in first place. And we're setting people up psychologically to have this approach in life that, you know, everybody's a winner, everybody's fine, we're all going to get the same thing. But in the judgment day, these shall go away unto eternal punishment, hell, but the righteous shall go into eternal life, heaven. In the judgment day, there's no do-overs. There's no do-overs. There's no, I'll give you another life to do it again. And you're really a candidate for hell, but everybody's a winner here, so let's just all go to heaven together. There's none of that. And yet we see it in our society today. Now we might have differing opinions on how to handle sports and ribbons and trophies and things like that being passed out. But in my personal opinion, I think we do kids a disservice when we do things like that. That's just my opinion. Because it doesn't match reality. And especially with regard to the judgment day, there will be those who go into eternal punishment, no do-overs, no second chances, no reincarnation. No, I'm going to put you on parole and see if you can get to heaven on good behavior. There's no purgatory of the Catholic faith, where you burn your way out of some things and finally you go to heaven. There's none of that. There's no reincarnation of the Eastern religions, where you just come back over and over again and eventually get your life right. There's none of that. And we don't need to think that everything in life gets a second chance. Because there's going to come one day when there are no second chances. Now, in a sense, when Jesus forgives us, we get that second chance. And as erring Christians, we can come back, Acts chapter 8 and Simon the sorcerer and all of that, and God gives us more opportunities? Absolutely. But there's going to come a time when that will not exist. So we need to be truly on the winning side when that judgment day comes. No honorable mention, no second or third place, no do-overs. No, everybody's a winner. So let's obey the gospel while we can. And then one last thing. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, verses 10 through 12, the parable of the 10 virgins. Matthew 25, 10 through 12, and we'll close with this point. There's not going to be any universal salvation. We've already made that point. Some are going to go away into eternal punishment, and others are going to go away into eternal life. There will be no universal salvation. There will be no everybody's a winner. And so because of that, Jesus, even in this chapter, this same chapter, Matthew chapter 25, go back to verses 10 and 11. He talks about the importance of obeying the gospel now. And he uses the illustration of the five foolish virgins who weren't ready when the bridegroom, Jesus, came. This is coming in judgment. Five foolish virgins were not ready. Five wise virgins were. We won't read the whole thing. I want to start in verses 10 and 11 and 12 and 13. And while they went away to buy, the bridegroom, Jesus, came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage feast. Ready. Not just you show up on the judgment day and everybody's a winner, but those who are truly ready, having obeyed the gospel, having lived faithfully thereafter. Those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Now I want you to underscore that in your Bible. The door was shut. What does that tell us about the judgment day? Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour. Notice that no amount of imploring is going to change anything. Lord, Lord, open to us. No amount of excuse making, blaming, imploring, begging, none of that. The door was shut, and that tells me one last thing about what's not going to be present in the judgment day, and that is that all invitations will have ceased. There will be no invitations. Daniel will not be coming forward to lead an invitation song. There won't be any Wednesday night talks. There won't be any sermons. There won't be anybody saying, come forward. All of the invitations will be gone. The door is shut. That door there in the scripture is the door of opportunity to come, and that is now. We have conditioned ourselves in the church in a good way, not necessarily a bad way, but we've conditioned ourselves and we've raised our children and others on the fact that we always have an invitation. And that's a good thing. We always need to offer the invitation. But one day, there will be a day in which that will not be the case. The door will be shut. No more invitation songs. No more encouraging you to come forward. No more gospel meetings. No more obeying after the service is over with, late at night, early in the morning, during the week. Whenever someone wants to come to the baptistry, it's always open, but it will be shut. No more baptisms, no more encouraging erring brethren to come back to the Lord. No more statements like, if you need the prayers of the saints, we can help you with that. No more of that. And so today and now is that opportunity, because there won't be any invitations. I like the invitation song. I like the invitation song leader. I like leading singing. I like singing together. But there won't be any invitation song leader standing up leading that song. Daniel, what is the name of this song? Oh, yeah. Okay. Nobody's going to be singing. It won't be very long. He'll already be there. Nobody's going to lead. There's a great day coming. Nobody's going to lead, buried with Christ, the song that we sing a lot when there's been a baptism. None of that. Brethren, I just wanted us to be reminded this morning of some things not found on the judgment day. Oh, they're found all around us, but they're not going to be found in the judgment day. And that's really the day that matters. So whether it be the material possessions and the injustices and the secrets and the man's words and all these things that we talked about, whatever it is, put it out of our mind and just simply be right with God. And especially on the matter of invitations. Except the one now. We're not given a promise of another one. I would be perfectly happy to baptize anyone into Christ this morning and wash away their sins. We were talking in the college class about some of the easiest sins to commit among young people, and the one that was brought up is lying. Just easy to commit, but we need to have that washed away. If that's on our conscience or anything else, I would love to do that. We're going to stand and sing this song of invitation, Come While You Can. Let's stand and sing.